All right. So I'll catch everybody up. I think everybody's kind of been here for the most part, except for the obvious exclusions. I'm glad you guys are with us tonight. You can just stay. We'll keep you forever. You don't need to go back to Sunday. You're fine. We got you. Sounds good. We are covering the rules of Bible study. I'm going to make us all do the exact same thing again as last week, because I don't trust that you guys understand something until you can repeat it to me. So, someone explain to me number six. God has three plans. Jordan?
He has a plan for the universe, the world, and for you.
Mm-hmm. What's kind of the point of that? Like, why is that important? Can you elaborate? Xavier, I'll let you elaborate.
They all have to follow each other, match each other, because you can't just have your plan be outside of what God's plan is for the universe.
Bingo. Yep. Exactly right. Exactly right. I am pretty good. All right. Number seven. Invisible things are understandable by studying the things that God has made. And taking a stab. You guys can also take a stab if you think you understand what that means. The invisible things of God can be seen by studying the things that God made. Jay, what you got?
Like the ants when Herb talked about it.
Yep, you can learn a lot about the ants. Or from the ants about God. Yep. We did the honey example. Yeah. Number eight, the Bible is of no private interpretation. What does that mean? Someone that's not Xavier.
Like you're the only one interpretation of the Bible, you can't just pick and choose what you want to say.
How do you find the one interpretation?
It's just what the Bible says.
Yeah, close. Jay? There's a verse I referenced.
Unrelated, by the way.
Oh, unrelated, yeah.
The day after we were talking about the honey.
Yeah.
Stuff, YouTube videos of honey lashing forever came up.
No way!
Government.
We really are going to die. It's gonna
happen. I know the verse.
You have the verse.
Yeah, 2 Peter 1:20.
Okay, 2 Peter 1:20. What's it say? Or someone can paraphrase it, if that works too.
Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation.
Yep, that's the verse that says there's no private interpretation. Do you know how I figured? Yeah, then that's correct. Yeah. Okay. Do you remember the verse that I referenced on how to find the proper interpretation that isn't private?
First Corinthians 2:12.
What's it say? You guys can also kind of use your brains. In the past, when we've tried to figure out what the Bible defines something, what do we do? I'm still haven't moved past private interpretation. I'm trying to figure out how do we figure out the interpretation if it's not private, if it's not me figuring it out. There you go. Yeah. What's that mean? I feel like you were going to say that too. What's that mean? Here's Anna. Okay, how do you compare spiritual and spirit? What's that talking about?
Compare the Bible with the Bible.
Exactly right. So it's kind of like what Elena said earlier. Yeah, it's like it's in the Bible. But it's like, yeah, you can find that by comparing the Bible with the rest of the Bible. Number nine, the individual words in the Bible are the key. What's that mean? We didn't talk about that much. Sum it up, Jay?
It's like when the Bible says quick, it doesn't always mean like fast.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm getting at. Yeah, what else you got? Keaton.
I have a verse for it. Proverbs 30:5.
Okay, now you get to flip there and point it to me.
I can't read.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. You don't have to read it out loud. You just got to explain it to me. The guys on the computer screen got the next one. Why not? Even though, were you guys here last week? I don't think you were. It doesn't matter. You can explain it.
Okay, oh, so no.
When you got to go now?
Every word of God is Peter.
Yeah? No? Good job. Yeah. Jordan?
I got something.
Listen to Jordan, guys.
I just lost my hat. Thank
you. Great job, guys.
God put every word of the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about how some phrases, like the end of the day, like that's referencing something bigger than just what it's talking about, right, Jay?
Didn't you also say we could add another one to the word
Yeah.
Number
yep.
zero.
Number zero. We can do it. We will go with.
Do it. No, make seven. Make seven. Come on.
But it has to go above. His is three number of all.
No, this is a. As a programmer, I'm fine with it.
Wait,
just
rewrite all
the
numbers.
No, Randy C started zero.
That doesn't look like zero. That looks like an O.
Okay. It is. That's, it's like the time that I picked the different Roman numerals for everything and drew the line of math.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't forgiven me. All right. Lastly, 10. Always give the Bible the benefit of the doubt. You guys on the computer, what does it mean to give the Bible the benefit of the doubt? Do you have a guess? Either one of you?
Like
I'll
if you.
First. Oh, sorry.
You're fine. Like if you don't like understand something, don't just give up. Like kind of go through and see if you can find like clues about it.
Totally. Yeah. That's a good one. Olivia, what'd you have to add?
I guess just like kind of the whole thing. Like God's ways are higher than our ways. So like don't like. Trust the Bible over what you would think.
Kind of thing. There you go. Even reference to Bible verse. Good job, Lou. I'm proud of you. That's good. Jay, what you got? That's funnily enough, it's going to reference one of the words we got this week. But yeah, no,
that was another one.
But right. this one still works. That's still a good point. Good callback. I will reference that later today.
Okay.
But technically, it wasn't necessarily they were taking it too literally, it's that they were taking it out of context. That was
two.
Two. All right. Anybody else got anything to add on that one? What does it mean to give the Bible the benefit of the doubt?
Well, some of these are bigger than you do. Something like a guy saying, well, this and this, when they're translated in the Bible, and it feels like a possible explanation about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those guys don't trust the Bible, so they feel like they're smarter than the Bible. Yep. Fair enough. That's a good, yeah. I've seen those guys on YouTube too. They're very obnoxious. Yeah, they're just like super annoying. All right, cool. Okay. Well, that brings us up to the new ones. All right, number 11. We will get on this one. Never forget the consistency of the Bible. What does that mean? That's pretty self-explanatory. But think about it. Never forget the consistency of the Bible. What does that mean? I don't know. The consistency of it. Pretty good. I gotta get purple. We gotta stay color consistent for the middle. Okay. So the way that the Bible works when you're studying the Bible, Xavier, you've seen this before. I know we've done talk about some discipleship before. Any of you guys have done discipleship before? Jay, you too. Have you ever had that moment where you're reading somewhere in the Bible and it like kind of ties into something that you knew elsewhere, right? Where it's like, I don't know, you learn a principle over here and then you're like, oh, like that is also referencing this principle over here. Have you ever had one of those situations before? So the way that you're studying the Bible often, this is the way that, like, I think this just came from Bob, I don't know. It's either Bob or Josh Smith, I'm not sure which one. But either way, I remember this phrase where, you know, like everything you learn in the Bible, kind of, you know, you'll see a line, right? Imagine this like a thread of Bible knowledge. So say you go through discipleship one, and you learn principles on, you know, baptism, and you learn principles on, I don't know, what else, Holy Spirit, you learn principles on prayer, you learn principles on all sorts of things, right? And so when you're studying the Bible, oftentimes you got to pay attention because you'll catch that these things overlap. So, for example, if you did the study of the seven baptisms, right? Technically, that would connect to the baptisms here. Like you can imagine like a little string. Or if you did the study on, I don't know, if you did a study on prayer and realized that, you know, the prayer and the Holy Spirit are technically connected because the Holy Spirit is how we can pray, right? And so you end up building kind of a mesh where all the Bible kind of proves the rest of the Bible. This, for me, I always doubted that the Bible was true. I always kind of was like, as a kid, like, no, there's no way that the Bible's legit, right? And the more I grow in the Bible, the more I study, the more that you kind of end up with these little moments where the Bible overlaps, and it's just always consistent, and you always know that it's true that way. So, I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. But I want to give an example, right? This is kind of funny. Okay, who here is a Star Wars fan? Everybody kind of a Star Wars guy? Okay, you guys all watch Star Wars? Yeah, boy. There you go. Okay, now what are your thoughts on the new movies? The last three that came out. Ben? Yeah, you haven't watched them? You just like the Star Wars idea. Yeah, I get that. What do you guys, you like the Mandalorian? Yeah, so the TV shows are one thing, but like the last three movies.
I don't like Mandalorian.
Weren't as good as the last one.
Huh?
Weren't as good as all the originals.
No, okay. Like, what were some of the issues with them? Someone that watched them, what was kind of weird about them? Hey, yeah, that's my sister. That's good job, Olivia. Why were they trash? Give me one reason. Number one reason here.
Ray.
Fair. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Give me some other reasons why they're terrible. Like, let's keep going. Quentin.
It just sucks.
Preach. All right. Anybody else? Give me another one.
I think they tried too hard.
They tried too hard. Okay. That's fair. Quentin. Next one.
Took too long.
Like, you think the movies were too long? Okay, that's fair. Keaton, what you got?
All the originals died.
Hey, there you go. Yep, exactly. No, Anna said a big one.
Oh,
no, that's true. That's true, right? Right? All the, they kind of like, yeah, go on. That's the old one. Oh, one person at a time, y'all. Anybody else got anything to add? Andy, you got a hand up that you like Star Wars. You love the new ones?
I fell asleep during two of them. I don't know. I didn't like how Luke was a grumpy old man.
Right? Well, that was my biggest gripe with the new movies, right? They took like all the character development of the old movies and like just threw it in the dumpster. Yeah. Like, no, this guy, no, right? So this is the frustrating thing. So think about this. Is there anybody that has more money than Disney right now in terms of movie production? But you're in the movie producing business, who's bigger than Disney? Like at this point, right? Marvel's Disney, everything's Disney. Okay, so who, like, if you're Disney, right? You could hire any writer in the world. You could hire 50 of the best writers in the world, okay? You could hire, I mean, think about it. You could have, like, there's no money that's too much. Like, think about Star Wars. It's just literally a bottomless money pit. They can just milk that cow till the Lord comes back, right? So they can have as much money, they can do whatever they wanted, and still, they end up making three movies with about 50,000 plot holes, right? You're just like, oh, all of a sudden they can fly spaceships at warp speed through people. Like, great, thanks. Glad we never had that in the old movies. You know, we can do force healing now. Great, that, you know, all those Jedi that died, man, sure it would have been nice if they knew force healing. Like, shoot, right? You know, this is being dumb. But, like, and you guys have all seen movies that have a bunch of plot holes, right? Think about that, though. But now, think about the Bible. That was written by, like, I don't know how many authors it is. What is it? Like, it's like 40, right? Something like that. That's a lot, right? Over the course of, right? I mean, like, the book of Genesis was written, like, here. And so all of like, 1,000 years, right, the Bible was finished, like, right, yar-ish. So a couple thousand years, right? So we have 40 authors over a couple thousand years, and guess what? The book has existed for 2,000 years, and no one's found a plot hole. Like, that's kind of interesting to me, right? The best people in the world, the best writers in the world, couldn't write a 45-minute movie that, like, we didn't leave out, like, walk out going, well, that doesn't make any sense, right? But then, all of a sudden, these guys that never knew each other literally lived. Like, think about a guy that lived 1,000 years away from you, right? Let's think of someone. Do you know someone from 1,000, right? Think of, like, that peasant in the Middle Ages. That's 1,000 years from you, right? Right? Yeah, exactly. You know, you see that? Now, imagine trying to write the same book that he's writing and it making sense. Have you ever thought about that? Like, literally, like, they don't even hardly speak the same language as you. Like, literally don't, actually. Even if they spoke English, it wouldn't be English, right? You can't lead Old English. Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing that's cool about the Bible, is that it's consistent. And that, like, proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that man didn't really write it. Because man can't make even a 45-minute movie that makes sense, right? So, I don't know. To me, that's always been kind of a funny proof that, like, the Bible's real. And I think it's pretty accurate. So, let's see here. This one. This is going to be a test to see if you guys have been paying attention in the last year, because we have covered this topic before.
I haven't been here a year.
How long have they been
here? You should figure this out.
I got it.
Okay, I know Jay's got it. I'm not going to call on you yet. We're going to go with the younger guys. You guys ever heard of the law of first mention? You youngins?
I'm just trying to get
it. Give me it.
The law of first mention. It probably has something to do with the first mention.
What are we talking about?
First mention of something. I'll give it to Jay if no one has to take a stab. Jay, what do you got? What's the law of first mention in the Bible?
Usually the first time it's mentioned, the Lord is mentioned, it gives the definition.
Bingo. Yes, usually, not always, usually the first time something is mentioned in the Bible, a word or even a person, right, that kind of defines it for the rest of the Bible. So like an example in Genesis 22 is the first mention of the word love, and it has to do with Abraham, type of God the Father, sacrificing his son, Isaac, type of Jesus, right? So love is defined as basically, you know, the epitome of love is what Christ did for us, right? That's what it's defined as in the Bible. And, another example, like, you know, not even just a word, but what's the first thing the devil does in the Bible? Anybody know what the first thing the devil does in the Bible? Close, very close, Jay. Huh? He what? Yeah, yep, exactly right. Get even more specific. Is that what you're gonna say? He sinned. He did technically sin. Right? But reading the Bible, first mention of the devil, he comes and does what? He deceives Eve by getting her to
Liar, liar.
He twists God's word. That's what he does. We'll look at it when we cover the book of Genesis, but he twists God's word and lies and deceives Eve. So guess what devil's probably going to do throughout all of history? He's going to twist God's word and deceive God's people, okay? Kind of sets the definition of who the devil is, right? It gives you an idea. Like, so that's another first mention that's important. So it's not just words, it's even just ideas. Does that kind of make sense? Next up. Hey, don't worry. I'm not gonna lie. Like, this coffee and Opal are pretty close in terms of my affection, and it's lighter, and doesn't actively try to heat itself.
That's true. That is true.
So, hey guys, I'm gonna start this over again real quick. All right, if you wanna dive off and start back up.
Okay.
I know, I'm too lazy to put the lid back on right now.
I miss Johnny Depp.
You miss Johnny Depp? Like, why? Oh, no, that's an issue.
Yeah.
No, he is.
Well, that's my favorite movie series.
That's a good movie series.
Get a lot of
interest. Now, here's the question, Jay. When did they start screwing up the movies? It's been a while. Do you like any beyond the first trilogy?
Especially since they came out with that first remake of, what was it, Aladdin or something?
Hi, guys.
Okay.
This one is very going downhill.
Okay, verse number 13. Always take the Bible literally until it is impossible to take it literally. What does that mean?
Oh.
We talked about it a little bit.
That's contradictory.
Is it?
Yes.
Always take the Bible literally?
Yes.
Do we need to define words? Do we need to define words?
No, that was context.
Yep, no, you're good. Yep, yeah, exactly. Always take the Bible literally. What does it mean to take the Bible literally? If you take something literally, what does that mean?
Take it as it says.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Xavier, kill yourself. You show up next week and you're still here, and it's like, dude, I told you to kill yourself. Come on.
There's young children in this room.
My mom told me not to.
Don't take her literally. Take me. right? No, but you get what I'm saying, right? We say things figuratively all the time. You know, how many of you guys have told your friend to just go, like, I don't know, take a hike? Or, what do you guys say? You guys gotta help me out. I don't have any.
Peace out. Find a hole.
Jump off the bridge, yeah. Jump off the bridge, yeah. But I always love, you guys heard the phrase, go pound sand? I always like that one. That's a good one. That's like the professional equivalent of telling you to go take a hike. We say that in our office all the time.
I feel like I need a phrase. Go to church.
Go to church.
It's a better way of saying take a hike.
Go dig a hole.
Go dig a hole. See, there we go.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Nobody says that. I know nobody says that.
Yep. I don't know anybody says that. No. I've heard that.
I speak.
Yep. So anyway, you guys get that now. So now, when it's saying take the Bible literally until it's impossible, what does that mean? Elena, I know you know this one. What does it mean? You got it. I'll put you on the spot. You have an answer to yourself. Take the Bible literally until it's impossible to take it literally.
I got a good example. Maybe it'll help.
Anna goes.
Pray without ceasing.
Ooh.
That's what that means.
Okay.
Ceasing means stop.
Yeah.
Without stopping. So pray without stopping.
Yeah. Y'all are a bunch of sinners because you're not praying right now.
Yeah,
right?
Come on.
Literally have to pray.
Yeah.
I'm like,
wait. Right? Yeah.
He dreams of praying.
What you saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to actually write that down because
I thought that was pretty
simple. No, that's fair. That's fair. No, but here's the thing. Guess what? You go to a Bible college today, they will tell you that Adam and Eve didn't happen. It's a figurative story.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to a Bible college today, they will tell you that Revelation isn't going to actually happen. It's a story, and it all actually happened in 80 AD when Tyrus came and destroyed Israel, and God's not actually coming back. That, I'm not even joking. You can go look it up. One of these days, if you don't believe me, I will take you to a website of a college, and we will look up their doctrine. I'll prove to you that they genuinely, right, they stop taking things literally. And so that's the issue. This makes sense to us, right? This, I like that you say it's self-explanatory because it's like to anybody that's not, like thinking that they're super smart, you just take the Bible for what it says. But it's these people that get ecology in their head that they, like, have to, you know, make it all fancy.
Well, that's poetry. So you don't take it literally.
Absolutely.
Have you heard that one?
I had a tutoring conference on Saturday, and there was like this one guy from UMKC, and he was talking about his Christianity class, and it was so off topic, I almost cried.
Fascinating.
It was really bad.
And his Christianity class was that same thing? They like didn't believe that?
Well, it wasn't necessarily that, but it would just like take everything, like basically rewrite everything. Mm-hmm. He was telling us all about it, and I was crying. I was like, this is not.
Frustrating. Yeah. Okay.
My English teacher.
Yeah.
You were learning about the Puritan.
Yeah. Oh, you would like the Puritan too. Okay.
Very opinionated. He gave his opinion, and I didn't like it. He was basically.
Tell him to go dig a hole.
He was very disrespectful when you say that.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's
fair. That would stop.
Yeah.
He didn't like it though.
Principle number 14, always be prepared to change what you believe when you find something contrary in the Bible. Now, that's self-explanatory. I don't have to explain that, right? That, yeah, if the Bible says something and you thought it was a different way, guess who has to change their opinion?
Us.
Yeah, exactly. See, you wouldn't think that'd be that hard, but once again, this is a struggle that people don't realize. You'll spend your whole life believing something, like something stupid, right? That, like, when you die, you go straight to heaven. Right? Like, that's what I was always taught growing up, right? Technically, doctrinally, it's a little bit more complicated than that, right? So when the Bible shows you different, you can either choose to believe it or choose to get sassy, right? Or growing up, right, I believe that, you know, any Bible was fine. And then all of a sudden, someone comes along and says, well, actually, there's some are one different, you know? You can choose whether to believe that or not, you know, and that's difficult. But the goal is, if you actually want to learn the Bible, you just have to always be prepared to change your mind. If the Bible says that you need to you know, shave your head bald, dyed your beard purple, and walk around naked for 50 years. Guess what we're all doing? Like, guess what you should be doing?
We're going to check the context.
Yeah, exactly. Preach. Yeah. Step one, check the context. We verify the context. All right. Should be able to change our beliefs up to that point, right? So, and this is not, this is luckily this isn't an issue for you guys because you're young. The older you get, the more stuck you get in your ways. You guys all know that old person that's like totally wrong on something, but they just will not believe you that they're wrong. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever experienced that with like a grandma?
Yep.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Give me an example.
It's kind of a lot of people, but my dad and my grandmother, they, like my dad grew up Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and so, and my grandmother's a very strong practicing Catholic.
Yeah.
So now, she was talking to us about like how she would pray to the saint of lost things
mm-hmm.
for stuff, and then he would like believe her, and I would try to tell him like, that's not in the Bible, like this whole thing. But it's hard for him, like especially like when Bob's preaching, because he grew up so Catholic, and when Bob kind of hashes the Catholics, my dad's kind of
I get it. No, it's hard. I mean, it takes time to learn how to do that. Keaton, what do you got?
My grandma, she has, like, every single type of Bible. Whenever my mom tries to show her, like, even a place in the Bible that's different, she still is like, well, here it says this. And then she, they get an argument.
Yeah.
That's whenever I ask my brother if we can go home.
Like, even not serious spiritual stuff. Anybody got an example? Like, yeah, Jay, what's up?
Well, oh gosh, apparently there's some spiritual stuff.
This is church, right tone off.
One of my great grandparents doesn't really like black people.
See? No, but for real though, like legit, my grandparents were racist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, like, right? The older you get, the more stuck you get. Or my thing is always, like, they've proven about a million times that wearing a beanie, like having your head covered, uncovered, does not make you sick, right? Like the math is that, like, guess what? Like, there's not germs. You're not gonna get sick, right? Like, you get sick because of germs, not sick because your head got cold. But like, how many times did my grandma yell at me if I didn't have my hat on when I went outside, right? It's like, you can show her the science and she's just like, nah, I don't care, man. Like, she's, you know, and you're like, but I'm cold. Like, oh, I wouldn't wear my hat. Or cracking knuckles. Like, they've proven that cracking your knuckles doesn't technically cause arthritis. Right? But like, your parents still, every time, you know, you crack your knuckle around your grandparents or something, they're like, don't do that, causes arthritis. You know, and no matter how many times you pull up your phone and go, like, look, they say it doesn't. They're like, oh, I know someone that, you know. But that's the kind of attitude that I'm talking about. You got to watch yourself. As you get older and think that you're a little bit smarter, you got to be ready and willing to kind of change your beliefs. Otherwise, you end up like that crotchety old guy that believes something stupid. All right, and so lastly here.
You taught me one.
What's that?
When said that you love your wife more than Oval. And
oh,
I was like,
yeah.
That's not in the Bible, and you book chapter verse me. Unchanged. No. I still don't agree with it, but that's true.
No, it's, I have lots of those.
Yeah.
Shoot, I bent the back one. Now it's never the same. All right, lastly, numbers are important. Now, I'm not going to expect you guys to explain that to me, but let's think about this for a minute. Right?
Yeah.
Can you guys think about like any numbers that have meaning?
Seven,
7, 8, 9.
Do you know what the meaning is?
Number of completion.
Hey, this guy knows what's up. All right, we'll get there.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, exactly.
Three is completion.
We're getting screwed up. Right? Yeah. What are you saying?
Three is completion.
Three is completion. Yeah, exactly.
Is it 12? Is 12 right?
Yeah. So you guys see, you guys already understand, right? Right? That numbers have meaning. You guys, like,
yeah.
Here, I'll ask you, is there a number that's lucky? And are there any unlucky numbers? Yeah. 13. 13 what?
I wasn't talking to you.
What did you say? Yeah, 13's unlucky, right? Okay, what do you guys know? What's a lucky number? Off the top of your head. Like, do your classmates say anything to lucky number? Ever? Like, does someone fight for the football jersey? That's a certain number.
26
for me.
10 is a big one. Yeah, I like 10.
Is it 7?
7, yes. Everybody always thinks 7 is a lucky number, right?
I think 5.
Well,
could be.
5, 30, but like,
see the Lord.
Historically 7. So, guess what? A lot of those unlucky and lucky numbers all have their basis in the Bible.
I'm so glad you have those.
I do. I think we're going to even redo them a little bit.
I love it.
But they're coming back. We have posters that have
hang up on my wall. Like, get a nail.
The numbers. So we'll go a little fast as I go through these. I'm gonna even.
You're gonna go through.
Well, I'm not going to go through all of them. We're going to go through some of them. Coffee's going down. We're getting serious. All right. So numbers in the Bible. When you come across the numbers, sometimes they're super important. Now, one, this one is like, I can't really think of a good example that I come across this. But unity, right? It makes sense, right? If there's one thing, that means that's in unity, right? It talks about, actually, now that I think about it, technically, right, isn't it Genesis, six? What are you talking about? There we go. Yeah, Genesis 11, verse 6. Now, one is for unity. That doesn't necessarily mean good. In Genesis 11, verse 6, anybody know what the story is in Genesis 11? The Tower of Babel. Yeah, right? The whole world united against God. It says the people are one. People are one. They all, everybody spoke the same language, and they went against God, right?
They
built a tower.
Yeah, but what was the tower for?
We can talk to him, yeah. Exactly right. Okay. We can discuss that one later. I'll get there. The number two. Now, two is a weird one. You're not going to really see the number two. But, right, if you have one thing and then you have two things, what does that mean that you did? You divided them. Yeah, exactly. So a lot of times in the Bible, when you see two things, right, they're intentionally two. There's a reason why there's two things. So when you see something in the word two in the Bible and God's driving a contrast, right? When he says day and night, that's two things. Well, why are they different? What is that picture of? Now, here's a big one, right? Three. The number of completion. Yeah, number of completion, right? So there's a lot of things that three is, right? Think about, can you guys list off, you know, what are we talking about? What's this principle? It's that principle. The invisible things can be seen by the things that God made, right? So what are some things that God made by a pattern of threes? Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. The three phases of matter. There's technically four, but three. Yeah.
Yeah, that one doesn't count.
That one doesn't count. I agree, it doesn't count. Solid, liquid, gas, right? Yeah, I thought it was weird. We're gonna call that not say. It's just ionized gas.
That's just
the three heavens. Yeah, that's the what?
The three heavens.
The three heavens. Yes, exactly. Bingo. Yep. Exactly. Three heavens. What else we got?
A triangle.
Triangle. There we go. Sure. Right? What is God built after? How many parts does God have?
Three.
Three. How many parts do you have?
Three.
What are they?
We got the body, the soul, and the spirit.
Exactly. Body, soul, spirit, right? Exactly. And they're three. And you will understand that there'll be a lot of people that try to convince you that there's only two parts to the human. But that doesn't make sense. Why? Because God goes by a pattern of
threes.
Exactly right. What else? Anything else?
Another triangle.
What do we have? What do we live in? We don't live in a two-dimensional world. We live in a three dimensions, right? Let's see.
What about the fourth dimension? Okay.
About the first dimension?
Okay, we're getting right. What about the atomic structure? What's in an atom?
Oh yeah.
Oh, proton, nucleon, electron.
You're so relevant. That's a good joke. I like it. All right. Here's another one. If you're like classic, if someone is forming a speech or a debate or something like that, or if you're making a sermon, how many points do you make?
Beginning, middle, end.
Yeah, exactly. You do three, right? The human brain likes the number three. If you're doing photography, what do they tell you to do? Rule of thirds in photography, right? You break your photo up into thirds and you put your subject on one of those thirds, right? That's how you make an aesthetically pleasing photo is the rule of thirds, right? So everything, these are everywhere in the world. You can kind of spend some time thinking about it. God just makes a lot of things by three. So that's when he completes something, when he makes something, that's a lot of times the structure that he follows. Let's see here. Four, we don't care that much about because there isn't anything.
What?
Five. There is, four is pretty much skippable. Five. Anybody know what five is?
Number of death.
Death. Right? Right? When someone gets stabbed in the Bible, what rib did they get stabbed under? Right? Genesis 5:5 was the first time that someone died of a, like it talks about them being dead in a physical sense. Now we know, like, obviously Cain killed Abel before that. When it actually, like, talks about someone being dead, it's Genesis 5:5. How many stones did David take to slay Goliath?
Five.
Hey, exactly, right? So that continues on. Okay. What?
I did two.
Didn't you take five?
I think you did.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But he only needed, technically, he could have only needed.
Yep. Yep. The, let's see what else we got here. Number seven, the lucky number, right? The number of perfection. The number that, you know, if God kind of builds things by threes, this is kind of the kick that I don't know if this carries over, but if God builds things by threes, he does things by sevens a lot of times. I think it's kind of an interesting way of putting it. I don't know if that holds true everywhere. But a lot of times that's the kind of perfection or complete list. So, right, God created the world in 7 days, right? Right? And he created it in six, but he specifically set aside another day, and then he said that he created it in seven, right? Why did he do that? It says, right, Israel, when they marched around Jericho, how many times did they march around Jericho? Yep, exactly. Then they blew seven what?
Trumpets.
Yep, how many times did they blow them? Seven times on the seventh day, right? How many animals did Noah bring on the ark?
Two.
Of each animal?
Two.
Hey, this is a trick question.
Two.
He brought two by two of the unclean animals. Yeah. How many did he bring of the clean animals?
Seven.
Seven, attaboy. You got it. Now we're talking. That's what I'm talking about, right? So he brought seven animals, yep, of the clean ones. Okay, now here's a fun one. Okay. Give me the names of, there's three angel names in the Bible.
Archangels.
Tell me the names of the three angels. Who are the three angels that we've got names for in the Bible?
Sure.
The names. Michael? 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 Gabriel?
Lucifer.
Yep. Okay. How many letters do Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer have in their name?
Seven.
Okay. Now, the devil falls, and his name gets changed to what?
Five.
That's pretty cool. Right? That one gets me excited. That one's fun.
Oh, I think he turns the devil.
Yeah, he turns the number of new death, right? Next up, number eight. Anybody know what the number eight is?
Eight is great.
Eight is great. It is. So it is the number of the new beginnings, right? If seven is the number of, like, perfection, completion, then eight is the start of something new, right? Well, that's for you. Hey. It's all kind of fluid, Jane. You know, you just gotta roll with it.
You're one of those people. I was gonna say
that. Oh, dad, go. We'll once I get these posters finalized, we'll get that. Okay. Number, what else did I want to cover here? Oh, now, there you go. Eight. How many people survived on the ark? Yeah, right? Eight people survived the ark, right? Eight, the number of new beginnings. Number nine. Does someone know what the number nine means? It is. It's fruit bearing. Yep. So Genesis 1:9 says, or 9:1 says, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And then Genesis 9:9, God promises to establish his covenant with Noah. So, you know, another thing too, right? The spiritual, the fruit of the spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, whatever. How many of those are there?
Nine.
Yeah, exactly, right? Let's see what else here. 10. What's that number? Anybody know? Dr. Good?
Messy.
Jesse, it's the Gentiles. We'll talk about that later. Messy.
I've got a messy.
So, right, Genesis 10 is when the first Gentile kingdom is established, right? Romans 10:10, it teaches Gentiles how to get saved, you know, stuff like that. We'll cover that more in the Bible. 12 is easy. You guys know anything? What is 12? That's 12 tribes. Yep, 12 is for the nation of Israel. See the number 12? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it has something to do with the nation of Israel, right? Something interesting there. Now, what's the unlucky number in the Bible that we talked about, right? 13. We talked about 13 being an unlucky number. 13 is rebellion in the Bible. So, and there's a lot of things we can go to on that one, but it's kind of interesting. We can study that more another day. I just want to give you the notes for now. We'll get in depth. Let's see here. And then lastly, the last number, 40. What do you think the number 40 is about? 40 days and 40 nights, yeah. When's another time that someone had 40 days in the Bible?
40 days of starvation.
Yeah, Jesus. Yep, exactly. Yep. 40 is the number of testing. So the number of testing. It is, so we got Jesus fasting, right? He fasted for 40 days. We got, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Moses on the mountain when he went to get the Ten Commandments, right? He goes up into the mountain for 40 days. Saul was king for 40 years. David was king for 40 years. Solomon was king for 40 years, right? That's the number of testing. And we'll cover all of these numbers more kind of as we actually go through the Bible. But it's a good idea when you're reading your Bible. What's the point? What's the point of this thing? The numbers are important. So when you see a number in your Bible, don't just graze over it like, I bet he just picked one. I had a little dice sitting next to him and just like, okay, we'll write 7 there. Right? No, God picked the numbers just as important as he picked the words. So that's kind of where we're going to leave off today.